Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. On today's call, we're going to discuss three times you don't tithe.
Now, this is interesting because most preachers say, hey, you need to tithe.
That's it.
And we've come up with three times that you don't need to tithe.
That's exactly.
Most interesting.
It is. Most every person who argues against tithing says it's part of the law and not mentioned in the New Testament. That's not true. Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and ants and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, mercy, faith. These ought yet to have done, and not leave other undone. The Greek word for ought is die, D-E-I. It means must. The scripture is actually saying that tithing must be done. The word die is the same Greek word that's used in John 3:7. John 3:7, which says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's also the same Greek word used in Luke 18:1, where it says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray is better translated, men must pray. In this passage of scripture, Jesus could have taught against tithing because it was part of the Old Testament, but he did not. In fact, Jesus instructed us to pay our tithes as opposed to giving them. Jesus states in very strong language the importance of tithing. I don't think anyone would argue that the tithe applies to a very fixed part of a person's income. In fact, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 in the Classic Amplified Bible demonstrates that we tithe on what we have already received. You heard me right. We tithe on what we've already received. The verse says, now concerning the money contributed for the relief of saints, God's people, you are to do the same as I directed the churches of Galatia to do. Verse 2. On the first day of each week, let every one of you personally put aside something and save it up as he's prospered in proportion to what he has given, so that no collections will need to be taken after I come. The writer is telling us specifically, very specifically, that we're to tithe. Our tithe should be on the first day of the week, Sunday. In fact, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says that each one of you, every believer, is to set aside an amount to give to God. Why is this important? Because it says in Leviticus 27:32, the tithe, the tenth, is holy to God. When the scripture says, as he has prospered, it indicates that the person has already received the provision God has established for them. As indicated, person is already prospered, and there is a specific amount to be given on the first day of each week.
And we could even go a little deeper. The folks who say that tithing is just under the law have failed to realize or recognize or maybe even admit that tithing existed before the law, and it does still exist today. In Hebrews 7:1-10, Hebrews 7:1-10 in the Classic Amplified says this, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithe from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here, mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. Even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So we're establishing this fact that Abraham tithed to Melchizedek long before the law. And if we look at verse 8 in Hebrews 7, chapter 7, where it says, here mortal men receive tithes, the particular phrase is present tense. For instance, here could be properly translated as now. In other words, now they were still receiving tithes. The writer of Hebrews, which a lot of, well, people think is Paul, died roughly 35 years after Jesus died, rose from the dead, and ascended into heaven. Well, let me put it this way. Paul, they think that he roughly lived 35 years after Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended. Mortal men is referring to ministers or the disciples and the apostles who were alive during the time Hebrews was written were receiving tithes. Verse 8 also says, and there he receives them of whom it is witness that he lives. This passage is talking about Jesus because he is the only one who lives and still lives eternally, could be on earth. Verse 8 of the Classic Amplified says, they are received by one of whom it is testified that he lives perpetually. Meaning Jesus raised from the dead forever for us. Jesus received tithes because he's the only one who lives perpetually. And yes, Jesus is still receiving tithes through his ministers. The tithe is given through men and women of God to the Lord as an act of worship and thanksgiving. Jesus did not come to do away with tithing, because if he had, his words in Matthew 23:23 would have been, well, totally different. Even if tithing was a part of the law, which of course it's not, I mean, it's not, didn't start with the law, Jesus did not come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it.
You know, it's interesting, the Greek word for fulfill, G4137. G4137, and it means to make full, to fill to the full, to render full, to complete in every particular, to render perfect, to carry through to the end, to accomplish, carry out some undertaking. Galatians 6:7 of the Classic Amplified. Do not be deceived and deluded and misled. God will not allow himself to be sneered at, scorned, disdained, or mocked by mere pretensions or professions, or by his precepts being set aside. He inevitably deludes himself, who attempts to delude God. For whatever a man sows, that and that only is what he'll reap. God will not allow his precepts to be set aside, overlooked, ignored, or minimized. Without question, Malachi 3:10 is a precept of God. It says, bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. God's precept is simple. If you don't tithe and give offerings, the windows of heaven are closed over your life. Be assured, this one precept, that's one precept that God will not allow to be set aside.
You know, you could also make the last point, if the word, and we're right, and we are, you've got, if the word's
right about tithing.
Exactly.
You got nothing to lose.
And everything to gain.
That's it.
by tithing. So let us share with you three times that, and that's what you've been waiting for, right? That you don't have to tithe. Wow. You heard us correctly. There are three instances where you don't have to tithe. The first one is you don't have to tithe on your monthly Social Security check. The reason is very simple. The money you receive each month should be the money you previously tithed on when you were working. And that's what we mentioned the other day about you tithe on the gross, not what you bring home.
That's true.
They took that money out, but you tithed on it, and now you're getting it back. So if you've already tithed on it once, you don't have to tithe on it again. However, you can always give an offering if it's led by the Spirit of God, because, well, that'll return to you as a harvest. So if you feel led to tithe on your Social Security check, even though you tithed on the gross during the years you were paying in the system, then, you know, so be it as God leads, if that's what he's telling you to do. If you didn't tithe during that time that you were wage earning years, in other words, you just maybe did it on the net, then that's another matter.
Or you didn't do it at all.
Yeah, perhaps that. Then you should definitely tithe on it because you want the windows of heaven to continue open over your life.
Second, you don't tithe on your income tax refund. There are a couple things we'd like to say about income tax refunds. First, if you're receiving a refund, you should have already tithed on the money. After all, your refund is exactly that. The government refunding your money, which it's been using for the better part of a year without paying you an interest. Unfortunately, some folks get all giddy about income tax refunds because to them it seems like new money. It's not. It's your money. If you're getting a large refund each year, we encourage you to increase your deductions so you have more of your money now to pay bills and do as you are directed.
And why let the government have it first, right? And keep it. And third, don't tithe on the gross sales of your business. If you own a business, I don't know how you can possibly tithe on the gross sales. And let me just break it down for you. If you have employees, you don't tithe on the salary you're paying them because that's their responsibility. Years ago, Harold's family owned and operated a Western Auto, which is now a part of retail history.
True.
But each month, they mailed out a sales paper, and there was always what they called a loss leader designed to help people, you know, get them in the place with a belief that they would buy something else when they were there.
Yeah, honey, I remember.
Yeah.
We sold a wash machine for $299. We paid $296 for the wash machine. If we tithe on the total sale price of that wash machine, we'd have gone broke and out of business. God would not expect us to tithe $29.90 on a product where we made $3. Here's a good rule of thumb. In business, you tithe on the money that's available to you after your bills are paid. Now, we're not talking about you wanting to tithe on a new car or a truck. That money would be available to you. But you made a choice, a decision to spend it. And that's exactly what you have to consider.
Mm.
And we're not going to finish this.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I think we just did.
Yeah.
We just did.
We told three things and we went through
three
things.
I'm so used to seven.
I know.
Anyhow, three things to think about. Let me say this, though. If you're getting a stimulus check from the government,
That's something to tithe on. That's right.
That's it. Because that's fresh money to you.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. If you're blessed by the ministry to teaching, go to haroldherring.com. Click on the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.